BPA, it gets a bad rap, but is it really deserved? Are we at risk from BPA seeping into our foods, or are its current uses safe? I'm your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'm talking with TAG Food Safety Director and toxicologist Brent Kobelisch on the realities of BPA. Good afternoon, Brent.
Good afternoon, Lisa. Great to be with you.
Yes, you too. So in the food industry, where is BPA found and why is it being used?
Yeah, it's a great question, Lisa. It's used all over the place. It's a very ubiquitous or all over the place kind of chemical used not only in the food industry, but other industries as well. Dental industry, it's in receipts. But specifically in the food industry, it's most notably associated with polycarbonate plastic. You know, things like water bottles and these types of things in packaging. But it's also used in epoxy resins. So a lot of epoxy resins are used in can coatings to protect the food inside from the can itself, but also from the external environment, while also providing a suitable environment for thermal processing needs to extend shelf life while also creating safe food in the canning industry. So it's a rather ubiquitous compound that's found in many places, but those are probably the two biggest areas in the food world in which it's used.
Okay, so if it's used in all these areas, how did it become such a poster child, say, for chemophobia?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in my opinion, it really started a long time ago, and it predates me joining the industry greater than 13 years ago. So I've been dealing with this along with other chemicals for 13 or so years. But I think the real straw that broke the camel's back was when Canada banned it from baby bottles and sippy cups, because it wasn't currently being used in those areas. So by reason of exclusion, let's just ban it. In those areas, one, babies, toddlers are sensitive subpopulation. And so out of precaution, we will just ban it from those areas where there was a clear line of sight in terms of the technology of replacement. Well, as a result of that regulatory action, in my opinion, the snowball just accumulated down the hill. And said, well, if we're going to ban it there, why aren't we banning it in canned goods? Why aren't we banning it in water bottles? Why aren't we banning it here? Why aren't we banning it there? Why stop there? And this, it's caused this perpetual snowball to build globally. And now you see many countries have banned it. And not only in baby bottles and sippy cups, but in can liners and other food contact approved uses. And so it really, in my opinion, stem from a regulatory action to remove it and ban it that led to the demise, if you will, of this compound being used in a variety of different roles throughout the food industry.
Okay. So what do other regulatory bodies, the US FDA, what do they say about BPA in food contact applications?
Well, currently the FDA has come out and said that under current uses in the food industry, it's safe. In fact, the National Center of Toxicological Research, NCTR, spent tens of millions of dollars relatively recently in what is known as the CLARITY study, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y. This stands for the Consortium Linking Academic and Regulatory Insights on BPA Toxicity. So CLARITY. And in that study, they really showed and proved, in a sense, that BPA at its current use levels is not biologically relevant in terms of promoting any adverse health outcome under current uses. And this was probably in my career, including graduate studies and in my career as a scientist, that I've ever seen this level of academic and regulatory interaction and robustness as it relates to good laboratory practices in conducting toxicological research over multiple species, multiple processes within the body to assess toxicity or lack thereof. And one of my colleagues even said, at this point, we know more about BPA than we do about water as it relates to toxicology. And it really has solidified in the majority of toxicologists' minds that BPA at current use levels is completely safe. And even, you know, from a safety standpoint, where we really need to focus on safety first before we can go into regulatory quality and these types of things, there are so many uses of BPA that have allowed it to be used from a technological standpoint to protect food in epoxy resins or polycarbonate plastic, to protect food from it, the environment itself, whether it be from heavy metals, from the can itself, when we talk about canned goods, protecting the ingredients as it goes through thermal processing to protect the food, to extend the shelf life of that food and protect it from microbiological pathogens such as Clostridium botulinum. And it's incredibly useful technologically, and, you know, it's safe. At the end of the day, it's safe. And I can go through all the mechanisms by which our body amazingly uses to really target BPA for really fast excretion and in essence, inactivate it so that it's not biologically active within the body. And all these things put together shows that it's not only safe, but it's technologically relevant and it is very useful in food safety practices and promoting food security in terms of shelf life and these types of things, so that individuals can purchase food and not worry about the spoilage of that food.
Given that, then, why are we seeing companies moving away from the use of BPA?
Well, I think in today's world, and not just today's world, but ever since I joined industry, and even before that, I think it's more political science than it is science. And it's this focus on consumer, not only perception, but what the consumers want. From a business standpoint, that's important. You know, if I have a whole host of consumers that are looking for BPA replacements or the removal of BPA, that's going to be an important consideration for any leader to market a particular product, you know, that we've removed BPA, et cetera. However, in certain cases, when the replacements are not easily characterized in certain aspects, for instance, the replacement for polycarbonate in things like bottled water, et cetera, the technological replacement and the need and the cost, R&D cost to find a replacement is relatively easy when you compare it to the myriad of foods within the canned goods space and replacing BPA or epoxy coatings in that space. You have different foods that are going to react differently with the liners, whether they be more acidic or less acidic, more basic, less basic. Can it withstand the thermal processing techniques of producing that food? All these factors play into whether or not an alternative is relatively available or available. And in some cases, the alternative will leach more compounds than what the epoxy resin was leaching in. And do we know toxicologically, are those compounds safe? Based on what I've explained to you now in terms of all the studies that have been involved around BPA to show that it's safe, we simply don't have that wealth of knowledge or literature without conducting that research on a lot of the other alternatives. Now, I'm not saying that the alternatives are unsafe, but if we've made a decision globally to move away from that into an alternative, are there going to be questions around that alternative, you know, in the next few years? And then we're in a similar predicament of changing out of that. And maybe it's a vicious cycle. We go back to epoxy resins. So all those things have to be factored in. And consumer perception, what the consumer wants, is a very important consideration. But it cannot be mutually exclusive from the consideration of the safety and or regulatory impact or technological resources needed to find that alternative. All of those factors have to be factored in to make an appropriate decision. But I think a lot of, and some of it was governments of certain countries have more or less said that if they ban something, well, you have to move from that from a regulatory compliance standpoint. But in those areas where you're basing it off of consumer perception, et cetera, I think a lot of those factors have to play into your decision-making process.
Okay. So thank you so much, Brent, for your insights on BPA. But before we wrap up, I want to pose one more question. And you know, you've heard of elevator speeches. So if you give the quick overview, you know, you're on an elevator with someone and they're really talking about BPA and turn to you and say, is it safe? What's your quick answer to that?
Yeah, BPA
before they
safe.
Get off on a couple floors.
Yeah, the weight of the evidence is very sound. We have a lot of evidence to suggest and in essence prove its safety at current use levels within food, period. And then if I had time, I would say, I'll give you as an expert, as a toxicological expert, when my children were very young, I went into Babies R Us because we needed some baby bottles, et cetera. And I asked an individual working there, I said, do you have any baby bottles that have BPA in them? And they looked at me like I had gone nuts because they heard all the rumors and these types of things. But I knew the science. Right. And I didn't know the sciences, you know, of the alternatives, but I knew the science of what I know. And so if that's any indication of, you know, my feelings on the safety of it based on the scientific weight of the evidence that I don't find it unsafe for my own family, then I think that goes a long way too. You know, this whole personal value, it's not only, you know, what you know, but do you have a shared set of personal values? And I think we need to get to that point of risk communication or involving that in risk communication, because I think that it translates a lot better than saying, I'm an expert in this field, trust me. If you have a personal set of shared values with your audience, the arguments and the communication and what you're trying to tell them, those individuals are a lot more receptive to that. And I think I would include that in my response, but it's safe, period, end of sentence.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Brent. And we really hope that this session of TAG Talks has helped our audience understand the realities of BPA and its safety in food packaging. For more information, visit our website, atchisongroup.com, and subscribe to the TAG Insights newsletter, where we discuss things like BPA and plenty of other such topics. And be sure to subscribe to TAG's YouTube channel to stay up to date on all things food safety and public health from TAG experts. Thank you.